Coming up this week, Sally and I discuss why it might be a good idea if your organization considers social media. We have some great picks, some great listener feedback, all coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast. As you well know, episode 235 for May 9th, 2012. And joining me as usual for almost every previous episode, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Hi, Martin. How are you this morning?
I'm well. You enjoying our spring this year?
I am, and apparently a lot of people think it's time to go traveling. You're heading out for a trip this week, I hear.
I am going to El Paso. You have your husband list this week. He's traveling as well.
That's right. He kidnapped two of my boys along with the rest of our 6th through 8th grade students, and they do this once every 3 years. They take the upper graders on a big class trip, and they mm-hmm. go to Milwaukee and see all the Synod sites. They're going to take in a Brewers game. They're even going to make it up to Camp Phillip for some low ropes action and mm-hmm. a campfire and stuff. So very fun trip. Saw them off yesterday morning, and they'll be gone all week. So just me and my oldest son home alone this week.
Hey, that's a neat experience. I've never had the opportunity to do that. I went to a public high school out in California, but that's got to be neat for kids from Sleepy Eye to be able to, not that they don't get out, but to go out and kind of have the guided tour of what their synod is. And mm-hmm. not that the SAB is any great tour, but I think it helps them understand, you know, what the Synod is and what it does.
Right. They're hitting Luther Prep and WLC and the seminary and the Salem Church
Landmark
Museum.
Church.
Yeah. And, you know, the highlight of the trip, of course, is finding Pastor's picture on the wall of the seminary out of the millions of composite pictures mm-hmm. that are posted there. So, yeah, lots of excitement. So
cool.
And, you know, just to follow up on that, talking to some of the parents are very excited to go on the trip as well. And those that have gone in the past are like, yeah, it just meant so much to me to see all those places and that kind of thing. So it's not just the kids, but the parents who benefit.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So fun stuff.
All right. So for episode 235, we're going to wrap up a discussion on an ebook that you uncovered a while back that really addresses some of the opportunities and maybe challenges of using social media or social networks on the, I would maybe call it, on the organizational level. In the past and to certain degrees in, you know, different books that we've reviewed and blogs that we've read through and just our own work in our own ministries, a lot of social media is all about individual members using it, but it does have a place for organizations, and that's kind of what this book or this ebook is about, how to transform your small business, or we could translate organization, with social media. And this is the second month we've been doing this, and we're wrapping it up this week with four more chapters.
Yep, short ebook, quick yep. read. And this month they get into more of the mechanics, things you can do to listen to people's conversations about your organization and to engage in that conversation process. And then finally how to measure that as
yep.
well. So,
and I think they start at least with chapter 5 here, where a lot of us start with social media, and that's just kind of joining and listening. When you start out in some of these, you're a little bit unsure of what this is all about. And I think organizations like churches and schools, you know, are in that same category. So sometimes it's good just to get engaged, start publishing content, but it's really not as much about the content as it is about the reaction to or what people are saying about the content and about your organization. Kind of a temperature check.
Yep. And, you know, the big focus here probably primarily is just searching or following the right conversations.
Right.
And probably the biggest tool I would recommend here as far as listening is doing setting Google alerts.
Mm-hmm.
That's something that I use pretty regularly, where you just pick out a search term and Google will deliver to you on a daily basis or whatever. Anything that comes up across the whole web that involves that search term. So, for instance, I have a search term set for Wells, W-E-L-S. And every morning when I wake up, I have a Google email, and it tells me a lot about Wells catfish.
Yeah, I've seen that quite a bit. Yes, I know more about catfish in Austria than I ever thought I would.
Exactly. Maybe you'd set a search term for your city name or something, mm-hmm. and just be, you know, on the pulse of what's going on in your particular city. That would be interesting for Sleepy Eye. We have quite a pulse going on here in Sleepy Eye. But, you know, just to stay abreast of,
yep.
of breaking news or happening topics that might be affecting those you're trying to minister to.
And it's very easy to do. It just comes right to you once you've set it up, and then you can tweak it later if you don't have quite the right search terms in there. But I just like kind of reading the morning paper, what's going on, you know, in areas that I'm interested in. It doesn't just have to be locations or organizations. It can be topics of interest. So if there's certain things that you are interested in, whether they're ministry related or not, Google can send it right to you.
Mm-hmm. And in the chapter, they make, you know, a lot of emphasis on looking at your industry as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
Our industry as church, maybe you would set search terms on things that would be appropriate for, you know, outreach opportunities or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Always when I talked about reaching out with your website, I would give the example of perhaps people are searching for a divorce attorney,
mm-hmm.
and you have that search term on your webpage, and they come to your page instead and find counseling for times of crisis or whatever. The same could be true. You sometimes want to almost reverse search for terminology and be able to join the conversation where appropriate with the good news.
Right. We should probably, before we leave this particular topic, go on to the next one, is a little plug for Google Analytics. And it can do the same thing for your website, so you get a sense for how people are finding your site or how they're not finding your site, because Google Analytics will log all the search terms used that they clicked on to actually get to your site. So one thing I always find interesting in looking at our church's website is because we have a preschool, how many people find our preschool or even the preschool, you know, some of the other services we offer, you know, what are they searching to get there? So they'll search for preschool Hartford, Wisconsin, or daycare Hartford, Wisconsin. Now, we don't provide a daycare, but if we saw a number of people landing on our page, then maybe that would be a ministry that we would consider in the future, as we saw that as a growing need. So,
sounds good. So the next section of the book talks about how do I start engaging. And this is probably a good time to make mention of a blog post that you found recently about churches blogging.
Mm-hmm.
So being part of that conversation, one thing that you can do is actually just have a blog or have a tool for people to comment on and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think this one particular blog post is a great example of ideas, at least, of how to start blogging if you're interested in pursuing that.
Yep. And that's kind of the first step to, which is chapter 6 here, how do I start engaging, is that you've got to engage around content. Obviously, you know, the social media is going to rely on you saying something. You blogging about something, you posting something on the Facebook page or through Twitter or whatever. And it's very important what that is, because some things are engaging, some things attract attention. And it's not all about just kind of attention-grabbing headlines. It's content that matters to people and things that are going to keep them coming back to say, well, what do they have to say now? And the blog post does a nice job about talking about what are some of those things that will do that for maybe the average congregation member and what won't. So it's that brings to mind, Sally, and we've talked about this in the past, how do you use social media? And we talked a little bit about this in the first four chapters. Who's it for? Who are you trying to connect with? And that should be part of your communication strategy as an organization, whether you be a church or school. Who are you using social media to reach out to? Is it an outreach tool or is it an in-reach tool? Is it to parents? Is it to members? Is it to, you know, a specific demographic within your congregation or school? And I think you have to be intentional about that because it will dictate what you write. And it will dictate how you use the social media tool. And in general, I counsel congregations especially to think of social media in terms of how you can relate to members, how you can create that fellowship opportunity virtually and then translate that to a face-to-face opportunities as well.
Yeah, and I think the list of ideas in this blog post are great examples of those kind of things like you're talking about. They suggest maybe you write about parenting ideas and tips, mm-hmm. or marriage pointers, or insightful and fun links, so that you're just adding value to their lives and mm-hmm. building relationships in the process and sharing the good news. Obviously, you could throw in a recap of Sunday's sermon or, you know, someone's story about how they ended up at your church or whatever, mm-hmm. just to keep it personal and real. But, just don't blog about the fact that you need volunteers to take the flowers off the altar or whatever it is.
Right. It shouldn't be a rerun of the church activity sheet or the bulletin on Sunday morning. In other words, yeah, people can get that elsewhere. So it ought to be content that people want to react to or you want them to react to, because if it's a one-sided conversation, that's not very social, obviously. As this, Sally, relates to schools, there are some considerations there about teachers participating in social media, because then you have a little bit different dynamic because you have the teacher, parent, student relationship to think about, and there are some things that teachers should be concerned about, and there's been all kinds of articles written about, you know, should you friend a student and should you even friend a parent, those kinds of considerations. And I think there was a nice blog post that we talked about in the past on this as well. But this is something you really want to pay attention to, that you have to think through it. You know, what are the ramifications of having this relationship that is beyond a professional relationship, a student-teacher relationship, or a student or a parent-teacher relationship that is in more of a traditional sense in school? Because social media goes way, or can go way beyond that.
Right. If you choose to rant on Facebook, for instance, these children are driving me crazy, mm-hmm. then, you know, how many parents
what
are
just said, right?
you communicating that to? And, you know, what kind of professional attitude are you projecting? And so you have to really be leery of letting your hair down all the way. You know, mm-hmm. It's not a private conversation. It's the internet.
Right.
And, you could also even give off the impression that you spend way too much time on social media sites, or that you're on Facebook in the middle of the school day when you should be attending to children or mm-hmm. whatever. So definitely give it some serious thought before you engage a little too much.
Yep. And, you know, social media is great for living your faith online. I think there are great examples of people doing that, but it's a full-time job share who you are in Christ on a regular basis. And as we know, we are sinners too, and that comes out as well. So not that nobody thinks you're not a sinner, but it's important to remember that if you're living in public, then that can have some ramifications that you have to think through.
Absolutely. The last couple of chapters in the book kind of focus on measurement and analytics. Mm-hmm. And I thought it was interesting. How do you do that? How do you begin to quantify? And one thing that they said was guess at what you'd like to achieve with this and then see if you measure up. You know, mm-hmm. Did we get more contacts for our preschool? Or whatever it is that you want to achieve, mm-hmm. and then just begin to quantify, see how it measures up. Perhaps tweeting about your live streaming services each week should turn into more people watching the live stream.
Yep.
And is there that relationship? Is it happening? Are you getting the word out, and is it turning into something in your analytical side?
Right. And you can track that through many different kinds of tools. If you use things like Bitly or those kinds of things, they will give you a report of how many people actually clicked on the link that you sent out. So it's technology has made this easy, but I think the hard part is determining, you know, what is, how are we going to measure this? You know, what is the tangible thing that we're going to be able to say it? And sometimes it isn't tangible, but it's more maybe what I would call anecdotal. So you are just kind of taking the pulse of, let's see, the people that you're interacting with and kind of seeing, you know, has this made a difference? Is this mm-hmm. useful? Should we continue doing this? And that you can do in many different environments and settings within an organization. So, but it's always good to ask the question and then listen for the answer.
I'm thinking of a great example, personal example, as you described that, Martin. We've done a prayer group in mm-hmm. our church, a women's prayer group, for all the years that I've been here. But this year we added a Facebook private group to our offering for that group. And it's optional. Some people opted in. Some people said, nope, not going there, you know.
Right.
But for those of us that are in the private group, I think everyone would agree it's been a really positive thing. It's a really easy way to share those burdens and joys. And everyone has appreciated it and participated. There's probably maybe 15 of us or so, but I think it's made us closer and mm-hmm. more engaged with each other outside of that Sunday morning contact that we have.
Right. And that's where I think social media is can be a real blessing to a congregation, not necessarily always on the whole congregation level, but some of these affinity groups that meet around a purpose, you know, service opportunity or other social reasons. So it's not the, you know, everybody in the pool kind of thing. It's you know, it's the 15 ladies who want to pray. It's the youth group that wants to do a service project. It's the you know, whatever it is. Lots of different smaller groups within a congregation. Mm-hmm. Does that wrap it up for this book, Sally?
I think so. I think there's some good practical advice there that mm-hmm. We can, you know, easily put into practice. So hopefully someone's those that are listening have taken away something from the ideas that were shared.
So the next book that we will do, we have not decided on, but it won't be probably till the fall now. We usually take the summer off. So we'll be considering different topics and books that we can do. But hopefully this is useful as we do this review on a pretty regular basis.
Maybe our listeners have a book suggestion. If you do, we'd love to hear about it.
Sure,
so
absolutely.
Let us know what you're reading.
Okay. Let's move on to ministry resources.
And we want to announce that the YouVersion app for mobile devices has been updated. And one of the exciting changes is that you can do parallel reading mode. So you can see versions side by side now on your mobile device. And I know that's a pretty hot topic these days in the Wells as we're coming into district convention time, and there's going to be a lot of discussion about Bible translations. Mm-hmm. In particular, people are looking at the English Standard Version, the new NIV version, and the Holman Christian Bible. And so all of those are available in YouVersion, mm-hmm. and you can do the side-by-side comparison yourself right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool because you don't have to scroll them independently. They will actually keep in sync. So as you're scrolling down the page, it'll obviously scroll both columns, so to speak, as you go. So a real easy way to do a translation comparison. And free.
YouVersion
is
tag.
Free. Yep. So you can do this on the web, and then you can do this on the iPad version as well. I suppose you can do it on the iPhone. I don't think you can do it on the iPhone version. A little small.
I'll have to try it out.
Yep.
I don't know.
News in tech. Google's got some more news for us. They seem to crop up in this category quite often. You know, maybe that's a strategy that they have. I'm sure it is. But caught our attention because we've talked about Google Hangouts in the past. In fact, we did a partial show using Google Hangouts, which is a video conferencing solution that allows up to 10 people to get online if they've got Google Plus or a Google account is all you really need. a webcam and a microphone, and you can video conference. But what they've added now is the ability to live stream that video conference via their YouTube property. So when you now, and they're rolling this out slowly, but I think for most people it shouldn't be too long before they have the option to stream this live and then record it as well. So when you sign up for the service, it gets connected to your YouTube account. And then when you click the button or the record button, it sends it out via live. So many more people can view it, although they can't participate in the Hangout itself. That's still limited to 10 people. Other people can view it or view it live or view it in an on-demand fashion later on. So this has some potential for streaming different kinds of things, whether it be a service or it could be a Bible class or some other interactive conversation that's going on, meetings or whatever. So you've got an opportunity there, I think some ministry opportunities to use this technology, and it's all free as well.
Yeah, we heard from Pastor Rob Gunther, who's serving up in Alaska currently, and he was excited about the potential for connecting the pastors in his area for meetings and, you know, being able to see them face-to-face and things. So, yeah, all kinds of opportunities, and the live streaming is a nice component.
I find it, well, I don't know about you, Sally, but I found it worked very well. I mean, it's very solid. The video stream is good and very reliable. So maybe we should jump out of order here in our lineup, and because we're talking about Google Hangouts, announce how we might be using it in a training opportunity.
How we're going to use it in July for Final Web for Dummies and Final Web for Teachers training. Google Hangouts is the platform, and you can get into these classes from anywhere. So all you need is a computer with a webcam, and you can hang out with Martin or myself for summer training classes. Our Final Web for Dummies class is 3 days long, and you can pick and choose if you don't want to attend all 3 days. But we have a beginner, intermediate, and advanced day laid out for you. And then the Final Web for Teachers class is just 1 day long. And all of these focus on the Final Web website platform. That's our partner vendor, and over 550 congregations and schools use Final Web, and I'm sure many of them would like to make use of more and more of the capabilities that Final Web has to offer. So sign up for training. We'll have links in the show notes.
Price tags are?
Well, 1 day is $48.99, or if you choose the 3-day package, it's a discounted rate of $128.99.
Very good. So we do have a limit of 9 participants per day. So if you are interested, make sure you sign up early, because we're anticipating filling those slots. Let's move on or back to our picks of the week.
Picks of the week. This week I'm going to point you to a Flickr set. It's Letters by Leo Reynolds. I came across this week and realized that there were literally thousands of photos of letters of the alphabet available to use royalty-free for non-commercial purposes. So you could use these in education settings. Maybe you have the kids do an art project around this. I've seen lots of creative uses of collages and things with letters. Maybe you have a need for it in some of your presentations or teaching moments, and you want to pull out a certain letter of the alphabet to highlight or whatever. I think it's a great collection, and it's
vast. Create nice little ransom notes with this.
There you go. Just what we need to do. The letter E alone has 910 different photos of the letter E. So get your alphabet juices flowing and try out Leo Reynolds' letters collection.
I can see great applications here, certainly for lower grades, but even for some upper grade projects in school. Very nice find. Arts. All free to use. Beautiful. And they're really nicely done. They've cropped them nicely, so they're kind of all about the same size, a nice little square. Look like nice resolution as well. Very cool. Good find.
Thanks.
I likes.
I think I'm going to like yours, too.
I know you're going to like mine. This is from one of your favorite companies, TechSmith. I don't know if we picked this in the past or not. We've talked about it, and I know you've picked other products from TechSmith, namely Snagit. But this one is kind of their flagship product called Camtasia Studio. It's at version 7 now. It's been around quite a while. They've recently released a Mac version as well. But Camtasia is a screen capture or screen recording application. And it came to my mind because I attended last week on Friday Technology and Learning Forum or workshop, series of workshops down in Lincolnshire, Illinois. And one of the workshops that I attended was on flipped classrooms. And we've talked, I think we've talked about flipped classrooms mm-hmm. before with Kirk Osdeck out in Keewaskum and maybe some other folks as well. And it really is a growing trend. And just to explain what a flipped classroom is, it's the concept where you take the lesson that is normally delivered in the classroom, record that, whether it be a PowerPoint or your video or whatever, make that available online, and the students then, instead of homework, view the presentation or the lesson delivery, and then they come into class, and that's where they kind of do the work that comes after the lesson is delivered. So what would be traditional homework would then be done in class where students can ask teachers questions or can be more augmented material or clarification of the material that they watched in video. And obviously you need something like a Camtasia to do the recording. You can record the whole screen, portions of the screen. You can include your own video via the webcam at the same time, so a little picture-in-picture. You can output to almost any format. You can use their screencast.com site, kind of acts like its own YouTube site. You can save out to YouTube formats. You can narrate PowerPoint, so it gives you a little plug-in that attaches to your PowerPoint application where you press a button and then you narrate. It'll create table of contents so that kids can go back into a particular video and click on a section of the PowerPoint that they want to replay. Just a great application. It's not inexpensive, although I wouldn't say it's over the top either for what it does. You can get an educator's version for $179 or a nonprofit version for $249. I can even see usage here for catechism, distance education, or catechism delivery so that the session could be recorded, played back. All kinds of application, obviously, for a flipped classroom setting. You use it a lot, Sally, for a lot of the training that we do for Final Web, the Final Web training videos, those kinds of things. Just a great, solid product.
So yes,
that's
yes,
my
yes.
pick of the week.
I agree. And you know, the reason that I love Snagit is a companion product for screen capture imagery. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it exists to be able to push your print screen button and bring it into the editor and add arrows and things like that. But I use it as my image editor. Mm-hmm. It's not, I don't even think of it as a screen capture tool, although I use it for screen capture all the time. It's my primary image editor. Mm-hmm. I do all my photos in there, resizing, cropping, all kinds of stuff like that. Camtasia is the same way. It exists for screen recording and all the things that you just described, narrating PowerPoints and stuff. But it's an awesome standalone video editor. Mm-hmm. So you can bring other videos in, not things that you record yourself, but other video that you have, video off your iPad or whatever it is. It'll take all different formats. You can crop, you can add annotations, you can zoom in on them. It's very versatile. And so really exciting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Add title slides, all that kind of stuff. And then, like you said, output to all kinds of formats.
And it's simple to use, and they've got some great training videos. There's even an iPad training series, which is free. You could download the whole training series for Camtasia Studio right on your iPad and view it there. So all kinds of options. So I think for anybody that's interested in any kind of flipped classroom concept or just general video editing and sharing, this is a great product. It's it was probably the only one that was really mentioned seriously, you know, at this whole conference. There were 1,000 educators there all talking about how to best do this, and this was obviously by far the most popular. You can do a little bit of this in Snagit, which is a lot cheaper. I think at Snagit's like 30, 40, 50 bucks, somewhere in there. It does do video recording, but you can't do much editing, you know, in Snagit. You can just do the recording itself.
Right. They just added that with the most recent version, that video mm-hmm. component. So, mm-hmm.
All right. So those are our picks. We want to do a little advertising for our 7 best.
That's right. We want to hear from our listeners about their 7 our even just their 1 favorite bookmarking tool or tip. And we're going to take all of that input as well as our own experience and compile a list of the 7 best bookmarking tools and tips and count it down on our June 6th podcast. That's episode 239. So get those picks into us, folks.
WellsTech.wells.net is the site. You see all kinds of little buttons in the top right and ways to connect with us. We've got Digo. We have Facebook. We have Pinterest, if that's your choice.
He says that with joy.
Well, I said it with enthusiasm.
You did.
Whatever, there's probably not a way that you would share something that we can't support. So no excuses.
Awesome.
Let's go to community feedback.
Well, we had a great email from our friend Kurt Gostick. You mentioned him earlier in the show, Martin. Kurt is at St. Lucas in Keewaskum, Wisconsin, and he's doing a one-to-one computing experience with his 3rd and 4th grade classroom this year. You guys may remember that Kurt was on our show way back at the beginning of the school year and told us all about their plans for the year with their netbooks that they purchased mm-hmm. for 3rd and 4th grade. And then he's checked in as well after Christmas to let us know how things were going. And now we've heard from him yet again, and he's a book author. Imagine that. He actually contributed to a book called 10 Digital Storytelling Projects. It was compiled by
awesome.
Richard Byrne over at Free Tech for Teachers, very popular blog for teachers. And Kurt told the story of their grandparent project. We'll have links in the show notes to how they put together their grandparent project, what the requirements were, and then some of the audio and video recordings that the students made for this special grandparents project. It's an awesome project. He's working on more, and I think we're just going to have to wrangle him back into coming on the podcast and telling us all about how the year went.
Very good. Thanks for sharing, Kurt, and congratulations.
Yep. Next up, if you subscribe to the Wells Tech Listserv, you were blessed with a few emails this week.
Yeah, a lot of chatter.
There was. Josh Johnson over at Nebraska Lutheran High School was asking questions about how to set up their servers and be able to support the one-to-one laptop initiative that they have going at Nell's. And boy, did he get some awesome responses. There were posts from Carl Hensland, Joshua Shanick, Adam Greenlee, James Monkey, and many others over on the listserv. So if you're that level of geek where you're into the whole server configuration thing, this was like a smorgasbord for you. So check out the Wells Tech listserv archives for all that conversation. I learned some stuff.
Me too.
Yeah.
Good stuff. Very geeky.
Very thankful for these guys and the jobs they're doing and their willingness to share their knowledge.
Yep.
Next up, we had a Pinterest link shared, and it was by a guy on Pinterest. Perry Lund shared a link to just how big is Apple.
Do they let guys on Pinterest now?
Occasionally.
Okay.
Has some serious criteria, but yeah. Just how big is Apple? It's an infographic, and it was really interesting. Apple is let's see. Their total sales in 2011 were $128 billion,
mm-hmm.
and that's more than the gross domestic product of about 160 nations around the world.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, and it goes on from there. They're big. They're bigger than Exxon and Microsoft and IBM. And
if only we had gotten that stock early on. Huh?
Yeah. So, anyway, interesting infographic. Check it out. Thanks, Perry, for the Pinterest link.
And keep those coming. We cannot get enough Pinterest links.
Yeah. Next up, we have some Digo links to share. The Shrink-O-Matic Adobe Air Batch Resizer. Link was shared. That's a little utility. It sits on your desktop. You drag your photos into there and tell them what dimensions you want them resized to. Really useful if you want to put photos on the websites and you need a whole, you know, maybe you went on a class trip to Wisconsin or something and you have 200 pictures that are 4 meg a piece and huge dimensions, but you want to share them on the web. Well, you want to resize those down to a reasonable, maybe 800 by 600 dimensions or something. And you can do that with Shrink-O-Matic very easily.
Wasn't this one a suggestion for our 7 best a couple weeks back?
I think we did talk about it.
Yeah. Didn't make the list, but
exactly.
It's due here.
And it was a double mention because Gail mentioned it over on Twitter as
That's
well.
Right. That's right.
Big fan of Shrink-O-Matic, apparently, at Emmanuel in New London. We also had a link to an article about how to moderate a brainstorming session. Mm-hmm. And I think this was maybe Randy Nepson who shared this link. And he said, you know, good Christian brainstorming where people are open to discussing anything might lead to some serious progress in the kingdom. So maybe these tips would help you in your next brainstorming event in your congregation or school.
Yeah, I think that for me personally, and I think also on the organizational level, church or school, we don't spend enough time thinking. I don't think we spend enough time in these kinds of sessions where we're just kind of blue skying things and saying, what are the possibilities? What aren't we thinking of? And it's, I think we need to dedicate more time to that. And that's when I talk about my productivity tips, that's one thing that I say that you really have to intentionalize and say, I need thinking time, because you can schedule your day full of stuff where you have no time to think. You just do. And there's very little time to be creative, to think about the work that you're doing or the things that you need to be doing.
Yep.
So this is a great post.
Totally agree. And then finally, a link on Digo from Ryan Rosenthal to a NASA video explaining what makes a planet and why Pluto is no longer considered a planet. So good find there. NASA has great image and
Pluto.
Video sources. Yeah, feeling bad for Pluto. Mm-hmm. Finally, a mention of Maren McPeak's tweet on Twitter about the Vista 200 presentation system. Maren says she got to test drive one of these solar-powered presentation kits for a teacher going to Africa, and she thought it was awesome and wanted to share it with us. I hadn't heard of this, but if you're going to remote locations, you aren't going to necessarily have electricity or, you know, consistent electricity available to you. You might have electricity for a few hours, but not for most of the day or whatever. And this would allow you to do projection and presentations even without that. It has an audio component and solar powered. So really exciting find.
That's cool. I would have application for this even in the States here. I've been in plenty of places where I didn't have reliable anything. So
yeah,
this is cool. And not that bad a price either for a base price. And this is probably just their, you can probably get discounts on this, $950 for the whole kit. So cool. Mm-hmm.
Charges from one day in the sun or by AC power and has over 3 hours of battery-powered playback. So
sweet.
Fun stuff.
Thanks, Maren.
That will do it for community feedback for this week.
Okay, and I've already told you how you can provide that feedback, so please do. What are we doing next week, Sally?
Oh, looking forward to next week because we get to hear about this trip to Chicago that you made and all the things you learned. Besides Camtasia Studio, I'm sure there were a few other things.
There were.
Exciting.
Got some cool videos to share, and I'll be blogging on this stuff too. So.
Very good. We also have an interview scheduled for learning about the Hmong video outreach that they're doing, live streaming Hmong services from Minneapolis, St. Paul, all the way to California to a Hmong congregation out there.
So cool. Looking forward to that. All right. As is our tradition, we've probably done this 235 times now. We feature a Wells musician, and it's L.A. Miller today with the song Your Peace. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. Please join us next week.